Powerful people can abuse their position, and the community expects them to be held accountable. That's where the KPBS Investigations team comes in. If you have a tip for us, send an email to investigations@kpbs.org or message on the Signal app at 619-594-8177.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Monday, May 4th. One in three unsheltered San Diegans are 55 and older. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. There is now another opportunity to save a few dollars on your SDG&E bill. SDG&E expanded its super off-peak pricing to be year-round on weekdays from 10 a.m. through 2 p.m. Previously, it was exclusive to just March and April. The chief customer officer for SDG&E says the expansion of super off-peak hours gives people more options to save in ways that work for their households. To qualify, customers have to have a time-of-use pricing plan. The city of San Diego, for 2 years in a row now, has seen a decline in those experiencing unsheltered homelessness. Other cities like Santee, El Cajon, Encinitas, La Mesa, and Chula Vista also saw a decrease in their numbers of unsheltered homeless as well. However, the number of people experiencing sheltered homelessness increased. This info comes to us from the Regional Task Force on Homelessness by way of their annual point-in-time count. Figures coming from this year's count also show a decline in unsheltered transitional-age youth, unsheltered veterans, and people living in their cars. A pressing concern for the county is an increase in seniors experiencing homelessness. More on that later in the podcast. Multiple fire service and law enforcement agencies in the county will be conducting preparedness exercises this week. Heartland Fire and Rescue says the exercise will take place Wednesday through Friday on the Barona Indian Reservation. About 750 firefighters will take part in the training. The exercises will include emergency communications, firefighter survival, structure defense, and hose deployments, all under simulated emergency conditions over the 3-day span. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Most stories do not start with a journalist. They start with people noticing when a river runs dry, asking why a school is changing, discovering something new next door. Curiosity is human. Your right to keep asking questions is at the heart of NPR's mission, and we are not going anywhere.
The results of the annual census of people experiencing homelessness are out. The new data from the Regional Task Force on Homelessness shows one in three unsheltered San Diegans are now 55 and older. Melinda Forstie is the president and CEO of Serving Seniors. She says more than half of them are homeless for the first time.
What we're seeing more and more every day is often it's just increased rent on a fixed income. So many of the seniors we're serving, they've been in their homes for years. And unfortunately, you know, their $1,200 a month of income that they have is not keeping pace.
Forstie says rental subsidies and family reunification programs can help keep seniors out of homelessness. She says building more affordable housing is key to seeing long-term improvements. There's more budget trouble coming for the city of San Diego. Revenue from the recent fee for trash pickup is falling short and could go away completely. For this week's edition of Why It Matters, Voice of San Diego's Scott Lewis explains.
City of San Diego budget crunchers recently noticed something. More people had chosen smaller trash bins than they had estimated would. That means they will pay a slightly smaller trash fee, and that means the city will collect about $9 million less next year than planned. It's going to add to the city's ongoing struggles with its structural deficit. But the conservative Lincoln Club is collecting signatures needed to put a repeal of the entire trash fee on the ballot. They only need just more than 20,000 signatures, much easier than any other signature gathering effort. That's because the fee was imposed as part of California's regulation on fees, which allows them to be put on the ballot by citizens with signatures from just 5% of the city's voters. The city's independent budget analyst told us that the trash fee now makes up about the same amount of money needed to run the entire library system. About half of city voters were already paying private companies for trash service. Those voters may not be motivated to support repealing the fee for their neighbors, but the decision is almost certain to make it to the ballot, and it will have major impacts if passed. For Voice of San Diego, I'm Scott Lewis, and that's why it matters.
California is launching a year-long effort to explore building a university in Chula Vista. South Bay reporter Corey Suzuki says a new state task force met for the first time Friday morning.
The atmosphere at Chula Vista City Hall was formal but celebratory as the task force gathered for its inaugural meeting.
This is a community-anchored effort, and we want to hear from and learn from and communicate how we're moving forward together.
Their assignment is to develop plans for a hybrid campus that hosts programs from multiple colleges and universities. It would be the first of its kind in California.
We have to acknowledge several are already providing services in South County, UCSD, San Diego State, San Marcos.
David Alvarez represents Chula Vista in the State Assembly. He wrote the bill that created the task force. Alvarez says their goal is to bring these different university programs together into one place.
They already have a presence in some way, shape, or form. We want to have a house for them through a university, an actual building, an actual campus.
Alvarez says the task force will look at what it would take to create this campus, how to build it, how to pay for it, and how it could be governed. The task force is set to meet at least three more times between now and next year. It's also planning to hold smaller meetings with the public. Their final report is due in June 2027. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
For the 250th birthday of the United States this year, KPBS is looking back on San Diego's own history. In part two of his report on Marine Corps Air Station Miramar, military reporter Andrew Dyer says after World War II, the base could have been home to a new airport.
San Diego historian Jim Newland says post-war sprawl makes it hard to imagine what the Miramar area looked like immediately after World War II.
There really was no developed communities north of what today we would say is Mission Valley.
The Marine base at Miramar was in the sticks. With the war over and the former Camp Elliott units moved to Camp Pendleton, the base was closed. Newland says that's when there was talk of moving the airport to Miramar.
It was still undeveloped area. It was out there.
But city leaders at the time didn't think anyone would want to travel that far to go to the airport. Colonel Eric Herman is the commanding officer of MCAS Miramar today. He's thankful city leaders were somewhat short-sighted.
They could have had this, and I'm glad that they didn't take us up on that.
The Marines did turn over some excess parts of Camp Elliott. Tierra Santa and Mission Trails occupy lands once part of the camp. San Diego's post-war economy boomed. Aviation manufacturers employed thousands of people.
You're now looking at one of the fastest-growing cities in America. And Convair is one of the chief reasons for this remarkable growth. Convair covers quite a bit of real estate all over the north side of San Diego.
In Kearny Mesa, General Dynamics opened a massive plant called Convair Astronautics. That's where they began developing and building the first ever intercontinental ballistic missile, the Atlas. Newland says the government was pouring money into rockets.
So it begins that whole, you know, hey, we're going to spend all these millions on this. Oh, well, that's now move on to the next thing, right? And so things like the test site for the Atlas, you know, they needed a place. And here was a remote part of this base that they could go, because a lot of it was very secretive, of course, because of the worries of the Soviet Union getting our technology.
That place was a remote area on the far eastern edge of the base. Most of the Sycamore Canyon test facility was built underground. The rockets developed there didn't only launch warheads. They were also part of the early Mercury space program. In the 50s and 60s, this was the cutting edge of the arms and space race.
In 1955, the new Atlas program was given the highest national defense priority. New facilities were constructed in San Diego.
The facility was abandoned more than 50 years ago, and today it looks like something out of a zombie apocalypse video game. All there is to see now are walls peppered with bullet holes, decades of graffiti, and rattlesnakes. By the early 70s, Miramar was under the control of the Navy. known as Fightertown, USA, it was home to the Navy's elite air combat school, Top Gun. At the end of the Cold War, the Defense Department was downsizing its bases. All of them were on the chopping block, including Miramar.
Just about everything was on the consideration list, is my understanding. And I think that's why there was such a key fight.
Instead, the Marines closed air stations Tustin and El Toro in Orange County and moved to Miramar. The Navy moved its fighter wings to Lemoore in Central California. Today, the base is home to the 3rd Marine Aircraft Wing. Marine F-35s from the base deploy on San Diego's aircraft carriers. There's 15,000 acres of the base east of the 15. Herman says they're special.
Going 15 south down to San Diego, you see this expansive mass of unimproved land. You don't see houses, you don't see shopping centers. And it's kind of really special for us.
He says units from all over come to train at East Miramar.
It's kind of best left unimproved to give that kind of sense of some ruggedness and really prepare folks for what they may see in a non-built-up way.
Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I really want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
Most stories do not start with a journalist. They start with people, noticing when a river runs dry, asking why a school is changing, discovering something new next door. Curiosity is human. Your right to keep asking questions is at the heart of NPR's mission, and we are not going anywhere.